don't talk politics at the dinner table, my mother would always say. And then when my father and I got into huge arguments over the Vietnam War, she would try and shut the whole thing down with, that is not of general interest. We didn't stop, of course. And the reasons were because our whole family was a strange mix of Republicans and Democrats. And during the days of FDR and World War II, my parents were taught that bringing up politics at the table could bring down the family. But this situation is, in fact, more common than you might think. Eitan Hersh is an assistant professor of political science at Yale, and he's been digging into party registration data and has found a high number of mixed political marriages. That's right, Republicans and Democrats living together and enjoying marital bliss.
So we looked at the party registration states, so about 30 states in the United States register voters by party. And in those states, we look at people who we have a pretty good guess of are married. We tried to define marriage in different ways. It's sort of a complicated process. You have to figure out if you want to include people who have different last names, if you want to include same-sex marriage. So we tried all these different versions of this. Altogether, we looked at, I think, about 13 million couples. Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican, Independent, Independent, and then the combination of those things. So Republicans to Independents, Republicans to Democrats, and Democrats to Independents. And what we found is that most people, like 70% of these couples, are in units that their partner shares their affiliation. So they're Republican, Republican, Independent, Independent, or Democratic, Democratic. And 30% don't share an affiliation. And that includes people who are married to the other party and then also partisans who are married to Independents.
How does this change generationally? In other words, can you compare young people, young kids, young couples to older couples?
So when we look at the relationship between your partner's party affiliation and age, we find that there is this strong relationship. And that's mostly because younger people in general tend to identify as an independent. And that's not a new thing. Like if you look at survey data from 50 years ago, the younger people back then also had a preference to register as independent. And so among the younger people, so you think married people around ages, 25, 30, 35, you see a lot more mixing of partisans married to independents. But in the older generations, what you see is more Democrats married to Republicans. So basically, as you get older, people are more likely to identify with a party. That creates more marriages that are Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican, and also more marriages that are Democrat, Republican.
Now, is this just because people don't want to argue about politics at dinner or are bonded to people who agree with them? I mean, I happen to know, for instance, in my own family, my sister and her husband are very divided. She's very Democrat, and he, we believe, is a Trump supporter. But they never speak of this, ever.
So, there's a lot of things that are going on here. One thing is that, in general, people who don't care as much about politics, they might be more inclined to be in marriages of someone of the other party, right? So it's not that big of a deal for them. And so you might see more of these marriages in partnerships where politics is not that big a deal. On the other hand, you might think that, well, if people really care about politics, they're willing to maintain a difference, right? They're not just going to go along with their spouse. When we look at the relationship between these mixed partisan marriages and voter turnout, we see a striking effect. And that effect is that in relationships like your sister's, where there is a partisan married to an independent or a partisan married to someone of the other party, the turnout is way lower, really significantly lower than among partnerships where people share an affiliation.
What do you think these little engines, these little family engines of political outlook may mean in the broadest possible way for the 2016 election or what we might learn post-election, since I suspect these choices are going to be fairly distinct and emotionally fraught, unlike most elections? We could get some broken families, post-November. How do you use this data to make bigger guesses about what the electorate will do?
I think one lesson from this data is that we're all much more mixed together than we seem when you look at, the news media or when you're in Washington or, if you're in a place like Cambridge, Massachusetts, where, almost 100% of the people are Democrat. That's not the world in which most people live in. In most people's lives, first of all, their neighborhoods are really split between Democrats and Republicans. And not only are their neighborhoods really split, what we're learning now is their households are split. And to the extent that we're all mixed up together, partisans, Democrats, married to, living with partisan Republicans, I think that one lesson of this data is that we are in a little bit more of a tempered climate than it sometimes can seem from the outside.
Well, tempered, maybe a different way of saying that is that we're not as divided as the news media characterizes us. There are constant sort of churnings of differences of opinion, but that doesn't mean that one group is in one corner of the room and the other in the other corner.
That's right. I think that, you know, people are able to, thankfully, survive and maintain relationships with people who are politically different from them. And I think that in an era of really heightened partisanships and very high stakes elections, it's nice to every once in a while have a reminder that we all get along pretty much most of the time.
Which would mean that the folks in Congress are outliers.
That's right.
And they don't belong here. They should be deported.
I think what they, you know, I think what they're doing, and they're not the only ones that are doing this, but I think that partisan politicians have a real strong incentive to rile up their base on both sides and get people very energized and angry and emotional. Those kinds of appeals increase contributions to campaigns, and they get people feeling that the stakes of elections are very high. That's just, you know, what they do. And what the people do is live amongst and in the same house as people of the other party.
Eitan Hirsch is assistant professor of political science at Yale University. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I've just got to know, have you ever dated anyone outside of your party? I mean, did it work?
This is Julia from Clayton, California. I think anything can work with mutual respect. I've married outside my party, and yes, we've had excited discussions. No, the marriage didn't work, but I can't blame that on political views. It's always good to respect one another's opinions as long as they're conveyed properly. I know things can easily get out of hand in discussions, so I politely answer one question and often change to a lighter topic of conversation.
Very polite. Julia there, speaking from Clayton, California. We'd love to know your story, and you can tell us all the details. I mean, every single detail we want to know. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number, or just hit us up on a voice memo. Email it to takeawaydigital@gmail.com.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.